Welcome to Studio 1776. I'm your host, Daniel Leach. I am joined by Eric Jones, the Freedom Screamer from Courtroom Watch. We also have a few other guests here at Studio 1776. This blog will be also recorded on the Anti-Deep State Party, and you can find more information at antideepstateparty.com. Welcome to the show, fellas. Glad to have you. We're going to be covering a variety of topics tonight, specifically having to do with the coronavirus hoax and a lot of other details and basically what's going on geopolitically right now. Go ahead, Eric. I'll let you introduce what you wanted to talk about here on the subject.
Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate you having us all together in this one place. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer here. We have Phil in New York. We have Chris in Las Vegas. I'm going to begin from the overview, from the big picture, and we can kind of work back into details and pull details out to support our theses and our what we're putting forth, as much fact as possible, and, of course, solutions. So we're not left with just complaints and speculation and theories. We're heavy on solutions here. So hang with us, people. We're going to get to that. But it's important that we start off with some concepts. If we don't get the concepts correct, we won't be able to see the forest through the trees, so to speak. You'd be bogged down in the immediate, chasing your tail with COVID-19 and getting supplies and staying alive. We all have to do that. We all need to stay clean, stay healthy, take care of yourself, pay attention to the biological systems within your body, that if they're functioning properly, your system will devour almost any virus or germ or bacteria. So we'll get into that in other broadcasts. Tonight we're going to stay kind of with conceptual, geopolitical, fortify our positions with immediate details and facts as best we can get them to you. And then people, we encourage you to be a force multiplier and get this word out to other people. I'm going to be talking about some things right here in a couple of seconds. I'm going to start off with what to me is an absolute earth-shattering statement from Governor Cuomo of New York State. The state of New York, the corporation, not the lawful state, so you thought we had a governor, but the CEO of the corporation calling itself the state of New York, made earth-shattering statements, and they're either going right over people's heads and we have a corrupt corporate media that refuses to even discuss this. But when we have a governor that's making the following statement, he made this statement the first week in April at a Wednesday press conference, and I wrote it right down immediately because I didn't want it to get lost in the fog of time. He made the following statement. This is Governor Cuomo of the state of New York, and he said, quote, "Sometimes you need the emergency to force change that would be difficult at any other time." Think about that statement and break it down. It says it all. This, if you discern and you analyze these words that he used one at a time, he said sometimes, so he's saying his first word sometimes, so he's speaking in generality. He's speaking over periods of time. Sometimes means over time. Some of the time over history, and whether that be short history, decades, or long history, hundreds, thousands of years, whatever it is, sometimes you need, not want. He knows the difference between a want and a need, and like oxygen or food or water or shelter. He needs the emergency. Sometimes you need the emergency, which is what we have right now, to force. Yeah. Okay, now what do you use the force? State police, military, guns, the ones that the stuff he wants to take from us, the stuff that you can't carry around more than 3-inch knife in your pocket because the state police says, what is this, a weapon? But all those arms he wants to take from us, he's going to force change, which would be difficult at any other time. Oh, how telling is that? Sometimes you need the emergency to force change that would be difficult at any other time. So he's telling you right there. We need, we thrive, we love, we have to have, like blood, we have to have that emergency. In general terms, he's not saying, you know, specifically to this plague or pandemic, we want to try to help keep people healthy he was speaking over a lot conceptually. That was a concept.
Never waste
the
crisis.
Huh?
Never waste crisis, or never let a crisis go to waste.
Well, I'm getting there. Thank you, Chris. And I'm going to cover that, and then I'm turning it over to Chris in Las Vegas and Bill in New York. Okay. Saul Alinsky on page 89 for Rules for Radicals. This is a hardcore communist playbook for all the people you see in political office these days, even some that supposedly claim they're on the right. Almost all. Saul Alinsky said, quote, in the arena of action, a threat or a crisis becomes almost a precondition to communication. Meaning you have to have that before anything else can happen. That's the top communist that trained Obama, which trained Cuomo, etc. Winston Churchill appears to be the first one to say, quote, never let a good crisis go to waste. And what he was referring to was after World War II, in his alliance with the communist Stalin and the communist FDR, they created the United Nations, the second step toward global government, which emanated from the League of Nations, which came after World War I, and did not succeed quite like the way they wanted it to. So they never let that good crisis of World War II, where millions died, many Americans, never let that good crisis. So I guess World War II was good. Winston Churchill saying never let a good crisis. It was a good crisis. He didn't say it was tragic with a loss of life, but we make the best of it. Well, it was horrifying, but maybe we can find a silver lining, and here it is. No, that was a good crisis because they got the United Nations. These people think big. They don't think small like a lot of us do. Like, we all have to survive. I mean, we can't all solve the problems of the globe, but we have to understand and as much knowledge and discernment as possible. Hosea 4:6 says, my people will be destroyed for lack of knowledge. So God ain't saying be stupid. Nowhere in the Beatitudes does it say be stupid. It's blessed are the stupid. Okay, so people having some knowledge is good. I believe Jesus said be as wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove at the same time. So don't do your evil, but know it, because otherwise to not know your enemy, at least in a sense to be able to defend yourself, will leave you defenseless. So, and of course we have Rahm Emanuel, the chief of staff for Obama. He went on to be the mayor of Chicago, I believe, and he said, quote, you never let a serious crisis go to waste. And this was the most fascinating, before I turn it over to Chris and Bill, and how this applies to the current crisis that we're in. In 1976, Michael Franklin Wiener, W-E-I-N-E-R, M.F. Wiener, wrote an article in the Journal of Medical Economics. And he said, quote, this is a medical journal, so think about how this applies to today. Quote, don't waste a crisis, your patients or your own. So get that again. He's saying don't waste the crisis, not your patients nor your own, that you're his medical patients. And in that he discussed how a medical crisis can be used to improve aspects of personality, mental health, and lifestyle. So there's what Cuomo was saying. We need to change your lifestyle. We need to get you conservatives out of New York. Remember Cuomo said, what, a year and a half, 2 years ago, if you're a gun owner, if you're a conservative, if you're against abortion, get out of New York. He said that publicly. That's not something, you know, somebody interpreted. He came out in a public speech and said that. He told all of us to get out of New York. All of the, you know, God and country. He has a very high level of disdain for us that he ordered us to get out of his state. Those of us who want to be free to only go if we want to. It's your business. No, he says if that's the state's business, give me your stuff. And they're restricting and tightening news on gun ownership in New York, as we all know, with the SAFE Act that keeps nobody safe, etc. So I'm putting forward the thesis, the concept that we have people at the highest positions of power, people at the helm, people with the keys to the cars that we are all in, or that we're all stuck on. And the people at the shot callers, so to speak, the top of the food chain, are all making these statements about how they love that crisis. Oh, yummy. They want more crisis, the better. We need it, Cuomo said. He didn't say, I want, you know, to make the best out of this crisis. Okay, that would make it be understandable. He said, no, sometimes you need the emergency knowing that he hates us and knowing that he's ordered us out of New York, anybody who thinks that he's changed his stripes and become the good Caesar or King Arthur on the white horse, and now because of the coronavirus that Cuomo is good Caesar. No, and that would not be thinking rationally. So with that, I'm going to ask for more comments on that and related topics. What do you, Chris, how do you think? And what was that we were citing to us before we started recording the call that talks about the military side of that, or the Surgeon General of it? Was it Chris?
Yes, the cry of ISIS, of course, ISIS comes from, it's an assemblage of two different component parts, cry and ISIS. ISIS is the goddess of death, destruction, bloodlust, and war, and sexuality. So when you hear them call for crisis, remember, Bill Clinton, whenever he was the president, they would cross-examine him on, I do not have sex with that woman. And they asked him what the meaning of his is. Well, when he was talking about the meaning of business, that's ISIS. He just separated the two letter characters together apart so you wouldn't know he's talking about, telling you he is a worshiper.
Slow down now. Let me back up. Now, who said that was Gore, was it not? Did you say that? Was it Al Gore?
No, Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton said it. Okay, he said what the meaning of his is. Those two words together make ISIS. That's a fascinating observation. And I'd never heard that. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted to break it down for the listeners. So the when Clinton said, "What we have to talk about, or we have to define what the meaning of his is," and then they would say, "Yeah, that's very interesting that comes called out ISIS."
Well, I'm just saying it's for your eyes if you have the eyes to see and the spirit of discernment to be able to put it together.
Yep. Continue, Chris. And what was it that you were explaining to me before the call that was the Surgeon General's, what was that, Chris?
Our so-called U.S., more likely U.N. Attorney, Surgeon General, I think his name is Jerome Adams, was on Fox News when I think Laura Ingraham, if I'm not mistaken, maybe others, and he was talking about this was our moment. And I would remind everyone that this was exactly the language that G.H.W. Bush and Jr. and stuff and PNAC, Project for New American Century, spoke about needing a Pearl Harbor moment, much like the Black Flag moment, much like the Nero fiddling while Rome burned when they took the fire from Rome, and of course Hitler had his stars set fire to the Reichstag so we could blame the intended victims so we could start the actions against them to silence them. Much like they used
911. Let's hold that thought and then continue from the Reichstag fire. But I wanted to explain to some of our younger listeners, because I know we post our stuff at Single Parents, so we like to sometimes back up a little bit and break things down. So hold up, write that thought right there, Chris. We'll get right back to you. But for the younger people and the older ones who might not know what the Reichstag fire is, that was Hitler's people setting fire to the Reichstag, blaming it on his enemy, the supposed communist, so the fascists could come into power. And it's the classic, one of the early kind of popularized and well-documented case of Hitler's own people burning the Reichstag and creating the crisis, creating the fire. Like Cuomo said, sometimes you need that emergency to force change. Okay, so what was the change? The change was Hitler's party coming to power by setting a fire and blaming a convenient enemy, your proverbial Lee Harvey Bin Laden character. So,
this is what's more correctly and commonly known as an agent provocateur act, where you hire not directly connected agents to carry out atrocious, horrific acts to change the public opinion so that the people will cry for protection from the government, so that the government can put in whatever violated to natural rights legislation and so-called protectionist action.
Yes. Okay, now hold that thought there. Now hold that thought again, because I want to tell the people what an agent provocateur is that might not know. This is somebody who stirs the pot, creates chaos, and I'll be exactly descriptive and give you a place you can go online to check this out, people. Daniel, you're going to want to start typing in a second. And Chris, hold that thought about the people crying for a solution to come in to the greater police state to protect them from the crisis that the government created. So the agent provocateur.
So hold on, just to let you know, Eric.
Okay, Daniel, so here we go. So the agent provocateur,
yeah,
must be very specific.
Hold on. Just to let you know, my computer's running a little slow, and I can't really do any. I can't do any searches right now because it's just frozen up. So, just talk and now.
Yeah, how convenient. It doesn't surprise me a bit. So listen, okay. So what an agent provocateur is, people, is somebody. If you've seen the G7 protest, the G8 protest, where the young people, for the most part, are out there protesting world trade, and they're protesting the globalization of the economies, which are going to hurt the little guy, the small farmer, the small businessman. It's a corporate takeover, and I see their point of view on that. And there's several different types of people at these protests, but they're not all on the same page, okay? So we're going to start off with that concept, or that premise, that thesis. Not everybody at those protests are on the same page. Let me be specific. Some of the people at that protest, the vast majority, are well-intentioned people who want to see buy local, fix local, less corporate stranglehold on the people, less incorporated government. They have different levels of sophistication and knowledge, depending on who they are. But for the most part, they want to see a better world, smaller corporations, more freedom and liberty in the economic situation. Then there's a small group of people. These are the guys usually wearing the masks. And these are the guys with the bricks in their hands or the stones or whatever, slugs or pipes. And these are the guys who break the windows and fight the cops, throw things at the police. These are the ones that actually get the violence initiated. Go ahead, Daniel.
No, that's great.
It's just me. And I was going to suggest that if you remember back to Charlottesville or Michael Hastings, some of these other Baltimore events and stuff, where the police put on disguises like the opposition party, the protesters went in there and did provocative acts.
I'm going to be real specific because I'm leading into that. Yeah, we're going right on the same page. So at the G7, G8, G12 protests, the small group of protesters can be identified by they're the guys wearing the masks and holding the bricks. Now, if you type in Montreal G8, agent provocateur protesters caught throwing bricks, you'll see that there's three guys wearing masks, real kind of big dudes, they have bandanas around their face. They're wearing kind of almost like cargo pants that look a little bit military, and they're off in the corner holding the bricks. And all the people started saying, "Hey, you guys, we're not here to throw bricks, okay? We're here to protest and have a legitimate discussion and a legitimate protest. Put down the bricks and take off the mask." And they start yelling at these guys, "Take off the mask, put down the bricks, take off the mask, and show us who you are." And at one point, you can see one of the three guys wearing the mask. They look like military or police, like short hair, well-built, muscular, And she leans over and starts talking to one of the cops who was actually there in uniform. And they start communicating with each other. And then at one point, the people start really hassling these guys, and they start kind of pushing back a little bit, and there becomes a conflict there between the protesters, the agent provocateur, the legitimate protesters on one side. They were kind of over on the right, I think, of the video, and on the left was the three agent provocateur cop-looking guys with their masks, with their bandanas around their face, and the bricks in their hand. And when the police went over and pretended to arrest them, and they were down on the ground, you could see they had the exact same tag on the bottom of their boot that was the police issue for that Montreal Police Department. And later, I read it, too. There was if it's still up on the Internet, you could find it. The Montreal Police actually admitted that they had their people there. And I don't know if it was an apology or an admission or what, but it created quite a stir, and you should be able to find the video of that if it's still there. But YouTube type in GA protest, agent provocateur, you know, protesters, you'll find it. You'll be surf around. It's a pretty well-known video. But it's important for people who haven't seen that to watch it and realize that this is what the police do. They need to create the chaos to bring in the change. Once again, I will go back to Governor Cuomo just this past 1 week ago, said sometimes you need the emergency to force change. So it sounds like he's loving it to me. And you can tell by the way he's creating a dictatorship in what should be a constitutionally protected republic. So back to you, Chris. Continue with the going forward and how the people are going to cry for a solution put forward by the same people who are creating the crisis, right?
Well, remember, Ronald Reagan said the 8 most scary words, the 10 most scary words, I'm from the government and we're here to help. If you're looking for government, which means mind control in the etymological essence of the two different components, government and mentum, mind is mentum, government control, regulate. It's an illusion in the minds of men, government is. It's created by men. And therefore, you can't expect these people who are self-interested. We've been taken over by agencies. The Administrative Procedure Act 5, United States Code 551X6, the Administrative Procedures Act, I think 1947, and that the FDR, but it was really Edwin Mandel House's military administrator. That was his wet dream of controlling the world by the administrative state. Administrative means management. And so the so-called managers are really all private corporations, an oligarchy, a fascist governmentship under corporation model. It's a very, very dangerous concept to free liberty. They have their own private policies. They function under that are limitless. They're called unfettered power. And this is what we're seeing with the zoning enforcement agents, with the BLM agents, with the governments of the state. They're all corporate. And most people don't know, and most police officers don't know, that if you look the police agencies up or their assistant departments or whatever, real help on Dun & Bradstreet or Manta.com, you'll find they're all listed. They're private profits corporations, and usually the sheriff or the chief of police is listed as the administrator to give him a pretextual air of immunity from prosecution when his agents act outside the scope, fear, and color of law and become outlaws because they have this fraud and fettered discretion, and they use that to ambit the first terms like crime or obstinacy or resist. These have no definition in law. They're wildly subjective and interpreted to be twisted to any predatory, advantageous version of the definitions they want to use in any particular case, and they try to project that they know what you're thinking and project that they know what you're doing and try to invent tests for you when they don't have any concept whatsoever of what you're thinking. It's all their ideas they're trying to project on you to put the blame on the victim, much like the Reichstag fire.
Yeah. Bill, any thoughts on the corporate government? You're walking right into Bill's zone of knowledge now. So we're going to talk about the corporate government. How, as Bill likes to say, the governor of New York, for example, I like to call Julius Cuomo, is nothing more than the CEO of a corporation. He's like McDonald's. He's like the CEO of Mickey D's with a gun. And a lot of state police, that he uses as a Praetorian Guard. And if we're living under a corporation and not a lawful government, then the edicts and orders from the governor, who is nothing more than the CEO of that corporation, that New York State corporation, then his orders only apply to his people, his employees. Is that not right, Bill?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay.
I'm in a bad spot, so my phone's going in and out.
You sound great. You sound better than anybody else has tonight. I'm going to mute, and let's just hear from you about corporate government, et cetera, solutions, how we got there, a little history as well, however you want to take it.
I'm not in a good spot right now to do that.
Okay. You're probably working a weekend, so I got
to. Yeah, I'll have to get readdressed this later.
That's fine.
Oh,
okay, cool. No, we're going to get you. That's perfect, though. You know what? We saved some for tomorrow. We can still got time. We can talk about the creation of crisis and concepts. And we'll get into Bill. We'll have Chris. We'll be heavy on Chris tonight, and we'll be heavy with Bill tomorrow. We're going to try to do these once a day to build up some knowledge for people and then build up a following. And once again, we encourage anybody listening to this to be a force multiplier and blast this information out to whoever you can. So, Bill, hang in there. Just at least listen to chime in with comments. And we'll get you. We'll pick your brain more thoroughly tomorrow. So we're laying out the concept, and I think that's important to do that. That we have people at the top of the food chain, the powers that should not be, are perfectly willing to. Well, let's start off with in their own words. They're loving a crisis. They're loving it, baby. They want to have more. Cuomo said it's a need, not a want. A need. A want is, hey, you know, I'd like a better car or, you know, a bigger house. Or needs are essential to life. You would think somebody would know the difference between a want and a need. And so Cuomo is quite a smart, deviously smart person, evil genius, you might say. He knows the difference between a want and a need. So they need. Now, is it a far reach? Is it too much of a step to say if somebody in a position of extreme power, governor of the state of New York, largest, most financial, powerful center right there, Wall Street, New York, the city is the hub of the country for the most part.
Are you still there, Eric?
Is that a call for me?
I guess so, because I think he must have, something happened to him.
Okay, he could have lost connection. Well, I'll go ahead with a little bit of the content I was going to bring. And we talked about the deep state. Many people, you know, they look at this metaphysical anomaly out there somewhere that we can't really put a finger on because we don't know who they are. So here is where the deep state is set forth in their book. Comes from the Department of Justice website, DOJ USAM, the U.S. Attorney's Manual, on their ethics obligations. And it's listed at 1-4.000. And on about page 6 or 7 of this particular document, I think it's about 24 pages total, it outlines that what they term the Senior Executive Services. Now, we've heard this mentioned somewhat in the Hillary Clinton and the Jimmy Elefantes, Podestas, Ping Pong Pizza, other aspects, including that with Anthony Weiner and his wife, Colonel Weiner, or Slavadine. These are people who consider themselves to be above the law and elite, and they're in charge of managing the so-called executive agencies of government that are created by the president under his executive authority as the commander, president of the corporation, Corp US Inc. You can find that 28 USC 3002, Second Medical 15, the United States of America is a private profit corporation. And so when you understand that he holds a corporate office as the command chief when he's acting in the military, when we're at time of war only, also the corporate master government, supposedly, the negotiator in chief, and thanks to executive agencies, the BLM, the FBI, the COJ, the State Department, now the Department of State, are all agencies because it's definitions and the CFRs and the law, you'll find agency is the president, and that's in his corporate capacity. It's also any department, bureau. There's a myriad of different word terms that are encompassed under the word agency. And when you talk about an agency, it's a private for private profit agency. Therefore, most always, when you're looking for agencies, the pay of the people in the agency and the ones that run it are highly compromised because they have financial interest in generating revenue or revenue, if they live up in people's pockets, into their own pockets for their own self-interest. That's why there's such corruption in the DCFS, Child Protective Services, the BLM. All these agencies have financial incentives in enriching themselves, like the CDC, the World Health Organization. They're all funded by Bill Gates of Health and his Gates Foundation. This is all a bunch of, it's absolutely insane. These people are not fair, neutral, unbiased providers of information. They are vested up to their pocketbooks and probably their bank accounts deeply in Bill Gates' money that influences the decisions and the price they're putting out as the gospel. And in fact, Anthony Fauci is really got it invented AIDS, for Christ's sake, which is an aspect of the CRISPR edited version of this so-called novel corona virus, R-U-S-E, and not a virus. It's absolutely just a going south operation.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you. I somehow my call got dropped conveniently. I wonder why. I'm back now and I'm listening to what you're saying, Chris. By the way, you were just mentioning the virus. Did anybody hear Donald Trump tonight? President Donald Caesar said the germ, not the virus. He said the germ is getting so big that the antibiotics can't kill it anymore. I thought that was very interesting that was he admitting that now it's not a virus? So I'm very interested in that. And Chris, I'll let you continue. Oh, the one point I was making before I got cut off was, is it a stretch to say that people of power who love a crisis, is it a stretch to say that they would create a crisis?
No. Not at all, not if you know history.
No. History proves it over and over. In fact, generally people that are psychopaths from these positions of power, and we see this manifest by their trust power that's insatiable. And this is why it's my observation, Eric, and everybody on the call. If we look at the Council of Governors, the COG, the Continuity of Government, is another way of calling it. There's also a Council of Governors. This seems to be a dissemination point of a well-orchestrated plan, if you will, a conspiracy, to have all the governors of the state do exactly the same thing and lock down this country and put everybody under house arrest when they committed no crime other than being Americans loving this country. Yes, if somebody is exposed to some sort of a communicable disease, although I'm not convinced that the virus actually is transmitted in a usual fashion, and certainly not by coughing and sneezing. They did tests on that back in the 1800s, where they had horses cough and sneeze in the bag. They ran swabs, dished up people's noses, and collected their spot and put it in other people's noses, and they couldn't transmit a virus like that. It has to spread inside the body.
I've heard that before, but I'm not a medical researcher. I don't have the virus. Hold on. Everybody mute up. Hold on. I'm not ready to say that that a virus can't travel on a drop of moisture through the air. I don't know. A virus is between 10 times and 1,000 times smaller than a bacteria. So what it can do, especially if it's bioengineered, which this one appears to be, may be able to do things that typically a natural virus could not do. And we know from the statements of Dr. Cameron Kyle Sedell. Daniel, can you type in YouTube, Dr. Cameron Kyle Sedell, S-I-D-E-L-L, and play that six-minute video for us when you get that pulled up. But according, we'll let him speak for himself. He's an ICU doctor. That's an intensive care unit in New York City. At a major hospital, and he opened an intensive care unit for the worst COVID-19 and then said, it ain't that. But we're going to let him say it if Daniel can pull up that video. Just give me a shout, Daniel, when you get that pulled up. But I'm not ready to say it can't do this or that. It may be possible for this thing, whatever it is. It may not be a virus. It could be a bacteria. It could be a germ. The Trump, the president tonight used the term germ. G-E-R-M. I don't know. That's a generic term. I don't know if he knows that. He may. I don't think that any of this are mistakes and slips of the tongue.
No.
We're going to see windows. He's accidentally might slip up once in a while and tell us the truth based on what they're telling him. And I think he might, something might have slipped out of his tongue there that was very accurate, but wasn't really supposed to slip out. He just said germ when he meant virus. I think they've been telling him, somebody's been telling him that there ain't no virus, it might be a germ, Mr. President. And maybe he intentionally, quote unquote, let it slip out, and started to float the idea. That way, when it comes out that maybe this isn't what we thought it was, or what we were told it was, by Anthony Fauci. And I mean, by how do we have a director of the National Institute of Health? He sounds like Walking Dead. We gotta wash our hands and have social distancing. He's the most unhealthy person I've ever heard in my life. It's only in this bizarre, comical government of goons and lunatics could they get somebody like that at the National Institute of Health. So anyway, just to get that off my chest. But Daniel, have you found the video from Dr. Sidell?
Yeah, I found it.
Play it up, would you, bro? And everybody's gonna go on mute right now. Listen carefully and crank it up.
Well, let's see if it'll play first.
While you're getting it to play there, Daniel, it's important to realize that Dr. so-called Burke, who looks like Nancy Pelosi's daughter, Maya, has similar gestures. She has two daughters, and one of them is the head of Bill Gates' injection foundation, or whatever they call it. I'm not sure what the agency is called. However, I do know that Bill Gates funds WHO, UN, National Institute for Health, and other agencies that have these people benefiting directly financially in a substantial fashion from Bill Gates' donations. Therefore, they cannot, by any pretext, be considered fair, neutral, unbiased. They are absolutely conflicted, vested up to their hip pockets. And Fauci owns the patent on AIDS, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, definitely. And Bill Gates, he also owns part of the patent for the coronavirus. And another thing about Mr. Bill Gates is the fact that he owns 20% in stock in all the commercial companies that create the vaccines. So, I mean, it's like literally every one of them. So you're right. This guy, Bill Gates, I mean, you got to look at, when we're looking at something, really, who stands to gain? He owns all the patents. He owns all the vaccines. He's an evil genius. So here we go. Let's play this thing here. And,
this is an intensive care unit doctor in New York City.
Yeah. Come on, buddy.
ER critical care doctor from New York City. 9 days ago, I opened an intensive care unit to care for the sickest COVID-positive patients in this city. In these 9 days, I have seen things I have never seen before. In treating these patients, I have witnessed medical phenomena that just don't make sense in the context of treating a disease that is supposed to be a viral pneumonia. 9 days ago, I presumed I was opening an intensive care unit to treat patients with a virus-causing pneumonia.
So you don't hear anything?
Nothing, Daniel.
Huh. Well, let me see if I could pull it up here on my phone.
Okay. So once again, people, we're just trying to pull up a video of Dr. Cameron Kyle Sidell is his full name. He's an ICU doctor that's intensive care unit in New York City. He's seeing things that are not viral pneumonia, so that's why there was a lot of concern around the community that
Okay, hold on. Here we go.
From New York City. Oh. Or, by the way, the governor is now saying all of a sudden things are looking like they're plateauing out. Looks like we may have 5 days of leveling. And I predicted 10 days ago they were going to pull a chair out of their rear end so fast it would make their head spin. How's that coming, Daniel?
Well, I'm having a little difficulty here for some reason.
Not a problem. We're having technical difficulties. It's not a big deal. That's the way it goes these days. Even the local radio station around here, CJ Country, got hacked. They had major problems. They barely were able to get the station up and running because somebody hacked it. At major media, you know, outlets.
Yeah, for some reason I can't get sound on my phone to play this, and then you guys can't get sound when I play this video here.
Let me tell you. We'll try to get it up, and if we can't, people just type into your search engine. It was on YouTube, so
it's still on YouTube. I mean, it's literally on the screen. People are looking at the video as we speak, but you can't hear it. So what's the point of playing it and putting it in here if we can't hear it? So,
post the link, Daniel, would you?
Sure.
So that's what we'll do. That's number one. Number two, people can type with their little fingers. Type in Dr. Cameron Seidel, S-I-D-E-L-L.
Yeah.
And, he basically says in this video that what he's seeing is not viral pneumonia. It's altitude sickness. He calls it ARDS, acute respiratory distress syndrome. And he repeats himself three times and says, this is ARDS. This is what all the hospitals are getting up for, which is ARDS. It's the whole paradigm that we're working under right now is ARDS. Acute respiratory distress syndrome. He says it's as if tens of hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers, and that's who it's affecting, are being dropped at the top of Mount Everest without time to acclimate. It's like a plane where the cabin loses compression and there's no oxygen. So it's not a respiratory failure. It's an oxygen failure. Ventilators are not needed. They're doing more harm than good. The ventilator is most likely leading to the death and not preventing it. And it's the only thing we have right now to introduce a little more oxygen into these people who are turning blue in the face and tearing off their respirators and their ventilators, desperately trying to get oxygen, because the ventilator is not providing more oxygen. It's just making the lungs expand and contract. And that's only something you want to do to someone who's having problems with the muscles in their lungs. When the muscles in the lungs fail, that's when you need a ventilator. These muscles are fine, but in the patients he's seeing, it's not that. It's that they're not getting oxygen. So that leads to the question, why is this oxygen deprivation now in so many people in one place? It looks to be spreading. It could be virally induced or bacteriologically induced, something else. I suspect it's 5G. Why? Because if you do your research, type in physical effects of 5G frequency on human cells, you will see that 5G, which operates at about 60 gigahertz, causes the electrons in the cell to oscillate or rotate. And those are the words from the medical reviews. That's not my interpretation. I use those. That's what they said. They used the word oscillate, and another one used the word rotate.
All right.
And
so
when electrons become active and move and vibrate, the oxygen cannot penetrate into the cell. And so what does it cause? Severe respiratory issues, mimicking almost exactly what we're seeing with this supposed COVID-19 virus.
So let me ask you a question here. So what we're talking about is a form of radiation, like from your cell phones, the radiation. Now, Here's some.
Hold on. It's more from the cell phone tower.
Right.
The tower is the genesis of that signal. The phones aren't doing any good. Okay, they're a transmitter itself, but only at a very small scale. Enough to damage you, yes. Cell phones bad. The newer, the worse.
Right.
I operate on an old flipper piece of junk. It's 3G. It works fine. I get a little internet. As much as I need, it's reliable. You can drive over it with a tank if it still works. And I don't get anything fancy, but it's not breaking every time my dog steps on the screen and all this other junk issues where you can't forward because you're not hovering and all this crap. Screw it. I went back in time, and that's probably what people are going to need.
Oh, I think you're gone again, Eric. For some reason, you tend to drop.
It's a tool for your work or activism. But,
hey, Eric?
Yeah, stop getting sucked in because that 5G oscillation prevents oxygen absorption into the cell, creating oxygen failure, which is exactly what the doctor in New York City was talking about. So now I can really, I wasn't going to discuss this in public, you know, too many, because where's the evidence? But you see an ICU doctor saying we have oxygen deprivation, not viral pneumonia, not respiratory failure, not needing a ventilator. They more need CPAP. They need an oxygen machine.
Sure.
They need an oxygen pump.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was going to say, I was out yesterday, and I happened to observe, in fact, it caught my attention because it was so radically different than everything I've seen before. And I am a former union electrician, so I've been around a lot of this stuff, and I've seen a lot of these different antennas, the tree-shaped and the ones that are clustered in the tops. But this was in a residential-only neighborhood, and it had, like four or five layers of these attached to the lighting poles and extended up. And I know there are 5G transmitters they were installing in Western Construction or Western States or something like that that was installing it. They had a little portal lift out there that zoomed the guy up to both them on. I can guess this guy's life is going to be short with these things up and energizing guys up there because there's directed energy waves, whether microwaves, or satellite waves, or electro-transmitted radio, or whatever the type of waves they are very deleterious to the human being, especially up close to a plane. And putting these in neighborhoods, I think, is like a super dangerous. Now, this might have been a Medusa-type meter collector that collects other signals and stuff from around the location. I can't tell you for sure. I took photos of it, and I could actually, I may have sent it to you, Eric, I think, yesterday. I'm not positive. It wasn't a great photo. I apologize. Maybe I can go and get a better one today. But this 5G, the danger here is these are all modulatable. And they've been replacing the cables in the ground with much higher voltage, higher amp capacity cables so that they can turn this power up where they want to. And they can do it remotely by telephone, by keystroke, by satellite. And we know there are a lot of geostationary satellites up in the sky. I guess Elon Musk is launching a bunch of them every day, and there's a multitude of them in the sky. I don't know if there's, but you can see them if you look up in the sky with a pair of binoculars at night, with a pair of, you know, reasonable quality binoculars. You can likely see these. They look like they're changing color lights. They look like a star with bright colors that change. Red, green, blue, maybe yellow and white. And when you look up there and see these things, they're very obvious. They don't look like any stars you've seen before. But those are probably what you're seeing are geostationary satellites. And what their capabilities are, we don't know yet. But I don't think they're there for Google to map the street or to help us. And it's very likely that with all the nanometallic particles that have been sprayed in the sky in the guise of weather management or solar radiation management or whatever else they want to call it, are not going to do us any good. And we know what happens when we put tinfoil or a fork in the microwave. It ain't good. And so if you do that, it's not unlikely that you have a deleterious effect on humans with aspirin. That's most of us that breathe. Any of these nanometallic particulate pieces. And so it's very, very dangerous. And same thing with smart meters in your house. They can all be ramped up remotely from the home office or from the satellite office or across the world and modulated up, and they transmit multiple times per hour. Well, when they're in their non-transmitting local measurement stage, they don't draw a lot of power. But when they transmit, they do. And so you have to consider the overall exposure of the power that's generated from these dangerous devices. And this is why 5G, they tell you it's going to be faster and it'll weather better. It's better. I don't think so. I think they're lying to you.
Well, yeah, we have someone on with us tonight. Bill, if you're still with us, confirm. Bill called me. We talked just at the beginning of, was it a couple of weeks ago, at the beginning of the kind of what you would call the lockdown of New York State. Not totally, they, you know, go to the store and this and that, but they kind of closed down all the businesses and restaurants and so everything, ghost town. And he called me and said, Bill, tell them what you told me about the utility trucks. Quite a volume, yes?
Yes, they are still all over the place in Rochester where I am.
Hmm.
Yep, and they're putting in really big cables, just like Chris said. Right, all over the place. I got tons of pictures. I gave up taking pictures. It's just like, how many more do you need, you know?
Right.
Amazing. Okay, there's firsthand proof right there. They're rolling out an enormous amount of cable. And one of our researchers, Heidi, came up with an interesting thing about holographic advertising and how they needed a certain type of heavier cable, fiber optic cable, to be installed to achieve that. And I'm wondering how the holographic technology may play into what they may be orchestrating or planning.
I think
I was just going to say, IE, that means, for example, Project Blue Beam. B-L-U-E.
Yeah, let's describe that. Go ahead and tell people what Project Blue Beam is.
Well, you, Chris.
Well, it's basically where they can project an image and it looks 3D holographic. It looks genuine. They had some of this over the Vatican and over the Middle East somewhere when they were using the fundamentalist vaccine. Then they used the voice of God, supposedly. I don't know which God they're using in this voice, but to talk to them and tell them what to do. I think they convinced many of the Middle Eastern settlements, the Afghan or Iraqis, bring down their weapons and give up. And this is a mind control situation. And if you look at Dr. Judy Wood's sort of towers, there's not a total lack of plausibility that there should have been some bleeding technology used in the so-called crashing planes into the World Trade Center. We know that there were placed cutter charges and low-level nukes in the bicep, and that they were implosions by demolition, not caused by planes hitting them. And this technology, this breathing technology, is basically very, very useful for those of heart and mind capabilities from being swayed by the influence. The people with their moderate education, it can be very convincing technology to make them think that some higher powers are directing you to do something. What it would be, it would be yet to be determined. It's very, very dangerous.
Yes, yes indeed.
Who actually began Project Blue Beam? Do you know?
I do not. The Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, which actually got named in a movie. Mel Gibson had enough gonads to actually name DARPA in one of his movies called The Edge of Darkness. It also has the premise of false flag nuclear terror, and which I thought was gutsy. It was a very interesting movie. If anybody hasn't seen The Edge of Darkness with Mel Gibson, you should watch that movie and ask yourself, who does that character, the British guy, okay, that the CIA goes through for their instructions, who does he represent? And we go circle back right now
to Chris talking before about the senior executive services and was it 1-4000 and et cetera. I want you to go back to that and revisit that, break that down a little more, Chris.
Well, the senior executive services heard about, these are basically people that control the agencies. The dark hand, the deep state behind government that basically tells all these agencies what to do. That's why you're seeing some pushback against Trump and his policies, because these are the people who are directing these global human trafficking, body parts trafficking, child sex trafficking, drugs, and other operations that are basically criminal racketeering operations under the cover of government. And whether you understand this, and you look in their documents that they're from the Department of Justice, or Injustice as the case might be, on their own website, and you look at that document, the 1-4000, their ethics and their so-called agencies, and their USAM manual, the United States Attorney's Manual, that's what USAM stands for, they tell in their own documents, I think it's page 6 or 7, now at the bottom, that the senior executive services, that's what they call it, I call it the secret senior, the SS, executive services, more accurately, I think, are the 30-year or more high-level bureaucrats, attorneys from the Department of Justice. Now, we understand that attorneys think they're elite, there are other aspects of them. You understand the attorneys were brought to this country as the Communist Party, and the Communist Party called the American Bar Association and the International Bar Association are from the Middle East, or from the East, I should say, from Austria and Frankfurt and these places that were brought here basically to undermine this government by the King and the Pope and whoever else that sent them here to this country when we were being formed. We had lots of high-level Masonics who were attorneys that came over to this country, and that's why we originally had Title of Nobility Act to prevent people from holding titles of nobility and to put some teeth in it. It's also suggested, I think, at the 9th and 10th or 10th and 11th of the original constitutional articles, there are no titles of nobility for anybody, and those titles of His Excellency or His what?
You just pushed one of my buttons, buddy. I got to jump in right there. Hold that button. I'm going to come back to you now. I'm not going to cut you off. I got to jump on something you just said, or I'm gonna forget. This is what I was just talking about. This has been rubbing me the wrong way since I discovered that the governors of at least 4 states, Connecticut, South Carolina, and there's 4 or 5 of them, I think. So far from what I can tell, I haven't jumped into this deep yet, so cut me some slack on the details here, but I believe in 4 or 5, less than half a dozen states, call their governors His Excellency, okay? Now, I don't know about you people out there, but calling anybody His Excellency ain't going to freaking happen. Nobody's My Excellency. Sorry, Jack, I don't care who you are. You may get lucky, and I might call you governor just to be nice because I don't want to make spew out, but you're not My Excellency, bro. Sorry. So, and I'm like, this is absurd. And that's what I mean. There's no historic American record of calling anybody Your Excellency if they're in political office. As a matter of fact, didn't we fight a revolution against that crap? Sorry. I'm freaking my language, people, but it's absurd. How do we get this far down the toilet of tyranny right back to where we started from? Hey, Daniel, pull up the circle of slavery. The circle of servitude. And I forget who wrote this, and I can't take credit for this, but this is real. I'm going to paraphrase it. Basically, society starts out as slaves, ancient Egypt. Okay, then they develop faith in a creator,